All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the last chapter of the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. Have you folks ever seen a deaf choir? You ever seen a deaf choir? Well, you're going to hear not right away, but soon we're going to have our. I want to get our deaf folks a little more involved in things, and it'll be a blessing to you. You'll enjoy it. I presented it to them tonight, and they kind of looked at me like, "What?" Kind of like some of y'all are looking at me right now. What? Deaf choir? Yeah. Wait till you see it. It's awesome. And I think they'll do a good job. It'll be a blessing. You'll enjoy it. And they're some of the sweetest people in that deaf ministry. Tom and Marty Witten, they're just about two of the finest people you ever want to meet. They are jewels. Just jewels. All right. So anyway, that's what I've been doing. All right, let's look at verse 34. Read the last few verses here of the book of Exodus. All right, verse 34. It says, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys." Notice that. In all their journeys. So it's not just talking about a specific time, but the entire time, the whole 40 years where they wandered in the wilderness. So when the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. You understand that? You see that? Okay, so verse 37, "But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." Now that's an amazing four verses. Would you agree? I mean, would you just stop and think about what Moses just told us happened? And it happened for a period of 40 years. Then when they got in the land, I don't know if you've thought this thing through, but when they got in the land, you will remember that when they got to the Jordan River, that the Jordan was flooded. Remember that? And so they erected 12 stones. They called the Ebenezer, and then the waters of the Jordan parted, and they made the tribes all lined up, and the priests took the Ark of the Covenant and the tent and everything, the tabernacle. They carried it on dry ground, just like it was dry when they crossed over from Egypt into the wilderness. They crossed the Red Sea, and it was dry ground. Well, when they crossed the Jordan into the land, it too was dry. And the scriptures tell us that, and the cloud was over the ark. And so when they got in the land and finally set the tabernacle up, then the cloud stayed in the tabernacle. All right, so then you'll remember many, many years later when Solomon built the temple that they moved the Ark of the Covenant into the new temple, and they had that big dedication, two-week-long celebration. Remember that? And thousands of sacrifices and pomp and ceremony. And man, it was just a two-week gala. Man, big time. People came from everywhere to watch the dedication of the temple. And when Solomon preached his message, the cloud came and dwelt over the Ark of the Covenant, and so it's been there. It's been there all along. And so right here in these verses, in this chapter, this is where where we're told about that cloud and about that glory, the divine cloud. And we're told all about it right here. So let's think about it tonight. The question is, can you explain the Shekinah? Well, we're going to try. All right, let's pray and then our study. Our Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. And I pray your blessings now upon it as we open the Scriptures tonight. Give us understanding of your Word. We just pray that you will help us to have ears to hear tonight. Give us, I pray, a blessed time around the Word, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want you to notice that the book of Exodus closes with God sharing with us about the cloud. Now, that cloud was His presence among His people. Keep that in mind. That cloud was His presence among His people. This cloud was extremely important to the Israelites, and it is referenced often throughout the book of Exodus and throughout the Old Testament. Now the Jews, they called the children of Israel, they called this cloud, or they called this pillar of fire by night and cloud by day, they called it the Shekinah. The Shekinah. All right, now, what does that mean? Well, basically, that word means that residence. That it is an old Chaldean word, and it means residence. All right, so the point is that God resided among His people. All right, He dwelt among His people. Does that ring a bell with anybody? All right, let's hold your place right there and go over to the Gospel of John for just a minute. And chapter 1, John chapter 1. All right, look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. All right, look down at verse 11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now watch this. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. And what's the next word?
Dwelt.
All right, let me give you a synonym here. Look at your Bible. And the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, John said, when you saw Jesus, you saw God. He was God. Isn't that cool? And it says that the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. He tabernacled among us. And verse 15, John bare witness of Him, that's John the Baptist, and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after Me is preferred before Me, for He was before Me, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. So this cloud from the Old Testament, from the day of Moses, this presence of God, this God residing among His people, the Shekinah, God residing among His people. That is a picture of the coming of of God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the cloud that now in the Old Testament is vital. It's so important. This cloud is never referred to in the Scripture as an abstract or intangible essence or as a mere concept of the imagination. Instead, this cloud was a definite object that was visible for all to see. It was a pillar of fire by night, and it was a cloud by day. It provided warmth in the cold desert night, but it provided shelter from the hot desert heat during the day. So, and it was that cloud and that pillar was God among them. So the point is, this cloud and this pillar was always there among the people, and they called it the Shekinah of God. Now, why? Because the word Shekinah means residence. It means that God resided among His people. In other words, folks, God was in that cloud. I don't know how else to say it. And God was in that pillar of fire. You remember that this is one of John's great themes, that God came to dwell among us, to reside among us. And this cloud first showed up to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And when it did, God was in that cloud. When it moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. You will remember that when they got to the Red Sea, it was out in front of them and it was leading them eastward. And it got out in front of them, leading them, and they got to the Red Sea. And when they got to the Red Sea, the cloud stopped. And when the cloud stopped, they stood by the Red Sea, and they didn't know what to do. They couldn't go south. That was desert. They couldn't go north. They would run into trouble there. And they could not go back, for Pharaoh's army was coming up from behind them. And that is when the cloud rose up, went over the people, and the Bible said that it stood between the children of Israel and Pharaoh and his army. And the Bible says in Exodus 14, it tells us that God stared out at the host of Egypt and troubled them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine getting eyeballed by God? And it troubled them. I cannot imagine God staring at you when you are intent on doing evil. There they were with the evil intent of destroying God's people, the children of Israel, and Jehovah God comes and stands face to face with them. Imagine that. And stares into their eyes, troubling them. My dear friend, realize the eye of God never blinks. You ever see two of them stand, you know, two boxers standing, and they're standing eyeball to eyeball, and neither one's going to blink. All right? Blinking is a sign of weakness, you know. And you remember when you're kids, you know, and you stand there, your little brother, you know, and you're going to stare down your little brother. And, that's the idea that God stared at them, and God doesn't blink. And you can imagine. He sees all, he knows all, he understands all, and he knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. All right, so that's this divine cloud. What an amazing thing that God came and dwelt among his people in this cloud. Now, let's think of a couple of things tonight. Number one, I want us to think of the place of the cloud. Look at verse 38. In verse 38, we are told that the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle. It was upon the tabernacle. Once the tabernacle was set up. Now, you'll remember that earlier in the book, God took Moses up on Mount Sinai and he gave him the law. Remember that? And so in that law, God told Moses to set up this tabernacle, and that God would dwell among the people through that tabernacle. So once that tabernacle was set up, the Shekinah, the glory, the cloud rested upon the tabernacle. Now, of course, we know that the tabernacle was the house of God. It was the house of God. It was where the altar was. It was where the Holy of Holies was. It was where the Ark of the Covenant was located. And that was where the Lord resided. And we know that the tabernacle was a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the cloud did for the nation of Israel is exactly what the Lord Jesus will do for each and every one of us. Jehovah God dwelt among his people by residing over the tabernacle, and Jesus came to dwell among us. He tabernacled among us. Now, folks, don't forget that Isaiah told us when the Messiah would come that his name would be Emmanuel. Remember that? Now, what does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. Okay? So that's Old Testament Shekinah was a picture of the New Testament coming of Jesus Christ, who, as our Savior, dwells among us. He dwells in us. And folks, that's exactly what the Lord came to do for us. Now, what purpose was the tabernacle to serve? Well, let's go back to chapter 29 for just a minute. Exodus 29. Go back to 29 for just a moment. Let me read you a couple verses. Exodus 29, let's begin in verse 42. How about 42? All right, 29:42. It says, "And this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will," what?
Meet
you. Where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there will I meet with the children of Israel, And the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. That's pretty definitive, wouldn't you say? I mean, that is God just telling them exactly what was what it was and where it was. And what he says here is that the tabernacle was to be exclusively the meeting place, the place where God would meet with the children, with his people. All right? It was here where he would speak to them, and it was here where they, through the divinely appointed high priest, would speak to God. All right, the priest, they would bring their sacrifices to the priest, and the priest would intercede to God on their behalf. Now, the tabernacle has, of course, in New Testament time, served its purpose. But the principles and the laws governing the worship of God abide. And what are these principles? Well, let's think about them. Number one, first, there must be a God-provided basis, a God-provided foundation. Don't forget the premise. The premise is the cloud was upon the tabernacle. Folks, when they came to where God resided, where God dwelled among them, they had to come on the basis, on the foundation that God ascribed. The offering and the methods of presenting that offering were prescribed by God himself. The carcass was to be consumed on the brazen altar, and then the blood sprinkled on the altar of incense within the holy place. But here's the point. Nothing, catch this now, nothing was left to the worshiper to decide for himself. He had to come with the exact offering, and in the appointed manner, nothing could be omitted, nothing could be substituted. He had to follow God's prescription to the letter. All right? And the law had to be followed to the letter. And yet, once God gave this law, men did their best to make substitutes and changes to suit their own needs. And we're still doing that. All right? Do you remember Nadab and Abihu? Remember the sons of Aaron? And this was early on. I mean, this was just shortly after the law had been given and the instructions that had been given. And what did God say in the instruction? He said, the fire that is upon the altar is never to go out. Remember that? And what did those two guys do? They let the fire go out. And so they took a bucket and they went next door to somebody's house, to somebody's tent, knocked on their tent flap and said, hey, you have some live coals in here? And they said, yeah, we got some live coals, and said, well, give me some. So they took a bucket and put some live coals in, came back over and used strange fire, God called it. You say, well, what was strange about it? It didn't come from God. You remember that when God, when Moses built the altar, the fire of the Lord came and burnt that, lit that off, that altar, lit the sacrifice. It was the fire of God. And then God said, it's never to go out. It was to be the original fire. Okay? The original fire, the one that came from God. But those two let it burn out. And so they went and got strange fire, came and offered it, and God killed them right there. Boom, they were dead. You see, you got to do it God's way. You got to do it God's way. The original fire came from God Himself, and no strange fire would ever succeed as a substitute. But isn't that the way it is with our salvation today, folks? There is no substitute for the Savior. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. Okay? What else do we know about that? About the principles that govern the tabernacle? Well, there must be a priest to officiate. Right? That's the way God set it up, remember? I mean, you couldn't just show up at the tabernacle with a lamb over your shoulder and say, hey, I'm going in to offer a sacrifice to God. No. No, you're not. There were procedures. There were rules to follow. And God said that there must be a priest to officiate. Folks, the worship in the tabernacle was mediated worship. Let that sink into you. The worship in the tabernacle was mediated worship. The person coming to worship God never went beyond the court of the tabernacle. It was there at the court where he met a divinely appointed priest who took his sacrifice and offered it on the brazen altar. And by the way, God still requires a mediated worship, but it's not through an earthly priest. It's through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, that's why the New Testament says that you and I are priests. All right, we are priests. I don't need a priest. I am a priest. And so are you if you know Christ is your Savior. Years ago when we lived out in Illinois, every hospital in Chicago is a Catholic hospital. Every one of them. They're all run by the Catholics. And I went to St. Edward's Hospital for a little procedure. And I had to go up for a pre-surgical consult. And so they did all this priest stuff, and then this little girl comes in and she sits down and she says, she starts asking me all these questions, and she said, now, do you want a priest? And I said, for what? And she said, to come and pray with you. And I said, oh, no, I don't need that. I said, I am a priest. She said, oh, Father, I'm sorry. And I said, now, wait a minute, the only one that calls me father are my three children. Well, that threw her over the edge right there. That one threw her over the edge. The only one that calls me father are my three children. And she what? But anyway, I got to witness to her. She didn't get saved, but I think she was still in shock when I left, if I'm not mistaken. But you don't need a priest. You are a priest. Okay? And your high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. So God still requires a mediated worship. But it's not through an earthly priest. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Don't forget, he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And then thirdly, worship must be wholly, directed wholly Godward. Just Godward. That's all there is to it. In the tabernacle, every part of the service, everything was directed towards God. God alone was to be worshiped. No one thought that worship was designated for any other purpose other than for God's glory. All right, so that's the place. That's the place of the cloud. But now, secondly, let's think about the purpose. The purpose of the cloud. You will notice, let's go back to chapter 40. Go back to our original text in chapter 40. And I want you to notice, secondly, the purpose of the cloud. Look at this. It says, throughout their journeys, In all their journeys, verse 36, in all their journeys. In verse 38, it says, throughout all their journeys. So there's the purpose. From the time they left Egypt until they came into the Jordan, or came into the land across the Jordan, the divine cloud, the Shekinah, was there. Its purpose, now listen very carefully, its purpose was to be their compass. Think of that. Its purpose was to be their compass. How in the world do you maneuver 3 million people through that desert? How do you do that? I mean, how are you going to know where to go? When they were to move, the cloud would move. And that's how they knew that it was time to move. The cloud lifted from off the tabernacle and it moved, and then they were to follow it. When it stopped, they stopped. And then it would come back over. They would set the tabernacle back up and it would come. That tabernacle was portable. They could take it up and pack it away and carry it and then set it up in a moment's notice. If it stopped, they stopped. If it moved, they moved. And the purpose of the cloud to be their compass is found for us in Christ. You see, folks, if we exclude the Lord Jesus from our lives, we'll not know when to travel and where to travel in life. We've got to stay close to the Lord and let the Lord guide us. In short, the cloud represented the will of God, which will be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly when it was, but it was probably about, 10, 12 years ago, maybe, something like that. But there was a church that called me and wanted me to come and preach for them, and they wanted me to consider leaving here and going to that church. And I said, I don't think so. I'm not interested in that. And they said, well, will you pray about it? And I said, I don't really think I even have to pray about that. I think I'm good. And so the guy said, well, I'll tell you what, you just take a couple of weeks and think about it and maybe talk it over with your family and I'll call you back. And so I hung up the phone and I walked over and I pulled the drapes up and I looked out. I didn't see any cloud moving, so I came back over and sat down, and I never thought about it again. And a guy called me and he said about 2 weeks later, and he said, well, what do you think? And I said, nope, I'm going to stay right here. And he said, are you sure? And I said, yeah. I said, I just checked. As soon as I hung up from you, I said, there wasn't a cloud moving in the sky. He said, what? I said, there wasn't a cloud moving in the sky. I said, hold on just a minute. And I walked back over and pulled them lines up and looked out. And you know, we don't have that many cloudless days around here anymore. You notice that? I pulled those blinds up and I looked out, not a cloud moving in the sky. And I went back and I said, nope, I'm just going to stay right here. When a cloud moves, you move. When a cloud doesn't move, you just stay right where you are. Amen. That makes sense, doesn't it? All right, number three. Let's think of the perception of the cloud. My text verse says, look at verse 38, the last verse. It says, in the sight of all the house of Israel. In the sight of all the house of Israel. You know what that means, folks? Everybody could see it. You with me? Everybody. Everybody in the camp could see it. All of Israel could see it. The cloud was visible to every family, every man, every woman, every child. Every single person could see the cloud every minute of every day. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? You say, I wonder where God is. He's right there. That's all they had to do was just point. He's right there. Where's God? He's right there. They couldn't get away from him, could they? Oh, by the way, neither can you. Well, I wonder where God is. He's right here. He's not moved. He's right here. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I'm His own. You see, that means that nobody had an excuse for not knowing the leading of God in their life. Isn't that true? Suppose you woke up one morning and you stepped outside your tent and the cloud was not over the tabernacle, which, by the way, was always at the center of the camp. Always. But you look and you see the cloud is out in front of you. You have no excuse whatsoever for not following the cloud. You can see it. God is right there in front of you, so you have no excuse. And I suppose the point that we are to see is that the will of God for our life is not some deep, dark, mystical secret that can only be discovered by a few lucky souls along the way, but is something that we can know with certainty. And I suppose also that if we would know the will of God for our lives, we're going to have to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're just going to have to keep your eyes on the Lord. So I want God's will for my life. Keep your eyes on the Lord. That's how you find the will of God and stay in it. And then lastly, let's think about the permanency of the cloud. Now again, I take you to the phrase, throughout all their journeys. You know, what's amazing to me, think about this. What's amazing to me is the cloud did not forsake them, even though they often forsook the cloud. Isn't that true? But God never abandoned them. He stayed right there with them. Isn't it amazing how there was not a day or even a night when the cloud or the pillar of fire was not visible? It was always there. Always there. There could be no question of God's presence. For in the sight of all the people was this cloud, wherein was the majestic presence and person of God. And the amazing thing is, it went with them and before them for the entire 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. And then when they crossed over the Jordan River, it stayed with them even after they got into the land. It stayed over the tabernacle when they set the tabernacle up. And if you remember that once the temple was built, the Shekinah came and dwelt in the temple. And it was the same Shekinah, the same glory, the same God that came out of Egypt with them. Isn't that amazing? Same one. Now, let's go over to 2 Chronicles 5. 2 Chronicles 5. 2 Chronicles 5. All right, look at verse 13. All right, this is this is when they were finishing up the house of the Lord. This is when Solomon was finishing the temple. Look at verse 13. It says, "It came even to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one." In other words, choir was singing with the orchestra. You with me on that? All right, the choir and the orchestra were singing. "To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Wow. That would have been cool, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you like to have seen that? And they watched it. They saw it. They watched it happen. God gave a visible sign to Solomon and to the people. And they saw when he finished praying at the dedication of the temple, and when the choir and the orchestra were singing and playing, that was when the glory cloud came and took possession of the temple. And for 1,000 years, the cloud occupied the space in the tabernacle and in the temple. Now, here's the point, folks. Throughout all of the Old Testament, now think of this, from the law forward, God dwelt among them. God dwelt among them. And yet, they blew it. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely amazing. Continually, God dwelt among his people. And yet, over that 1,000 years, the people just continued to slide. They continued to drift away from God, to turn away from the Lord. And God sent them prophet after prophet to warn them about their foolishness and their choices. And God pleaded with them through these prophets to turn back to him, but they would not. And finally, judgment was visited upon them because of their rejection of God. And that judgment that came upon them was the Babylonian captivity, when the temple was torn apart by the Babylonians. Take your Bible and go over to the book of Ezekiel for just a minute, and we'll be done. Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 10. Look at verse 1. All right, now you'll remember that Ezekiel was one of the prophets that was taken in the captivity, and he was a great voice for God and warned the people, all right, and but they wouldn't listen to him. So look at verse 1, chapter 10. Then I looked. Now this is Ezekiel talking. He says, then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them as it were a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen and said, go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood, watch this now, the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the, what's the next word? All right, there you go. And the Shekinah filled the inner court. All right, so that's God. Nod your head, you with me? Okay. Then, watch. Then the glory, the Shekinah, the residence, then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with the cloud. And the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Now, folks, watch. You say, Pastor, what's going on here? All right, look at me. Look at me. And we'll get back to this in a minute. Look here. Look here. Stay with me, guys. I'm moving. All right, watch. Watch. Ezekiel, the cloud, God is getting ready to say, I'm done with you. he's getting ready to abandon his house. Ichabod. He's getting ready to leave. The glory has departed. He's getting ready to leave. All right? He sent them prophet after prophet after prophet. They won't listen. And so he raises up Nebuchadnezzar. Here comes Nebuchadnezzar's army. They're outside. And Ezekiel is standing there watching this happen. And here's the Holy of Holies. And here's the holy place. And here's the outer court. All right? Ezekiel is standing over here watching all this. And here's what he saw. He saw the cloud, the glory, over the altar between the cherubim. He saw the glory. And then he watched it go up, and it came and stood at the threshold, at the door. And now there's no glory in here. When the glory was here, it filled the Holy of Holies, but it moved and it stood here for a little while. And Ezekiel watches it at the threshold, and now the light and the essence and the glory is shining in the holy place. It's no longer shining over here, it's shining over here. But then it moves and it goes out to the court, and now the court is all lit up from the glory and the Shekinah of God. And then you continue reading and you will find out that in this vivid account of the departure, he saw it behind the cherubim in the Holy of Holies. Then he saw it take a position over the threshold of the door in verse 4. And then after it lingered there for a little while, look at verse 18. Verse 18, it says, then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims, and the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. And when they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. In other words, folks, God left it. Isn't that something? And Ezekiel stood there and watched as the glory departed from Israel. Wow. Don't you think that man's heart was just absolutely broken? Look at verse 23, verse 20. This is the living creature we'll go back to 19. And cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river Chebar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. Ezekiel said, I knew what had happened. I knew that God had left. Wow. That's just heartbreaking. And you cannot help but realize that when you read this, that the departure was almost like God was reluctant to go. He left the cherubim, went up, and then he hung out right here for a few minutes, and it was almost like he was looking back, and Ezekiel was standing there watching all this, and then he moved from there over to here, but he didn't just abandon, he didn't just take off. No, it took him a while gradually before he completely left. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to go, but he had to. He had no choice, for his people had rejected him. All right, very quickly. Very quickly, go to John again. John 1, and I'll quit. Not done, but I'll quit. Look at John 1. All right, you'll notice when I read the first chapter, I read down to verse 5, and then I skipped down to verse 11. But let's read 6 to 10, all right? says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He, the light, Christ, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Sad, isn't it? Sad. That's the disappointing part. Here's good news. But as many as received him. Ooh, that's me. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He came and tabernacled among us. That's so awesome. And that's the Shekinah, the glory of God, the residence, the God that dwells among us. Now, if I had time, I'd take you over to Revelation, and you'll see that for all eternity, for all eternity, he will be our God, and we shall be his people. He will tabernacle among us for all eternity. Amen.